Belinda Audio and Audible Studios present this unabridged recording of
The Casebook of Sherlock Holmes,
written by
Arthur Conan Doyle
and read by
Stephen Fry. Foreword by Stephen Fry. And so we come to the final collection of Sherlock Holmes' adventures to be given the world by their creator, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. When, in 1927, he placed the full stop at the end of the concluding sentence of the last mystery, The Adventure of Shoscombe Old Place, Conan Doyle was finishing his 56th short story in the Sherlock Holmes canon, to which he had also contributed 4 full-length novels. And so ended one of the most popular series involving perhaps the most memorable, instantly recognizable fictional characters ever presented to a devotedly enthusiastic reading public. To take the collection first, there are 12 tales here in all, 2 of them standing out by having as their narrator not the usual faithful chronicler Dr. Watson, but Sherlock Holmes himself. The first in this collection, The Adventure of the Mazarin Stone, like the title story of His Last Bow, is not told by either, but is written in a dispassionate third person. It also takes place in just one room. Both these peculiarities betray its origin as a stage play, which was called The Crown Diamond. Otherwise, in the casebook, there is presented the usual collection of varied problems for the great detective to solve. Some of you might notice variations on favourite themes. What is the tale The Three Garidebs, but a kind of reworking of the Red-Headed League? And surely the retired colour man reminds us of an even more malignant Norwood Builder. We have met the owners of great racehorses before, and mysterious lodgers with a dark history. The apparently supernatural phenomena that bear a more rational causation, these we have encountered before also. Merciless blackmailers, clients of such importance that their names are withheld, strange discoloured faces at the window, and incomprehensible phrases gasped out by dying men. These are all familiar tropes. But we do not feel cheated or sold short to hear these new tunes played on old instruments. A great part of the pleasure of Holmes and Watson comes from the comfort of familiarity. To readers then, as to readers now, living in a world of breakneck speed, seemingly bent on self-destruction, the reliable Victorian certainty of Holmes's pipe, deerstalker, lens and dressing gown was and is just what is wanted. It is strange, almost alarming, to recall that this collection came out in the jazz age, the age of cigarette-smoking flappers, cocktails, art deco and sports cars. Wisely, Conan Doyle keeps Holmes and Watson where they belong, in the gaslit London of the previous century. The great author was approaching the end of his 60s at this point. He was a widely respected figure, quite as celebrated as grand contemporaries like Kipling and Shaw, though as a popular writer, he was, of course, never in the running for the Nobel Prize they each secured. He was a Knight of the Realm, though, doubly so, in fact, dubbed a Knight Bachelor in 1902 and created a Knight of Grace of the Most Venerable Order of the Hospital of St. John of Jerusalem the following year. In that concluding sentence of this collection, he closed the book on Holmes and perhaps on his own writing life with a farewell to a career which has now outlived its shadows and promises to end in an honoured old age.